Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260. Today's broadcast, lesson number 4 of week number 18, studying Matthew chapter 18, part of a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. As we get started, these reminders. To access all of our materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For a list of our materials, email us at free@ighradio.com. For updates, text IGHFREE to 55222. That's IGHFREE, all one word, text IGHFREE to 55222. Two great ways to study God's Word. Use our free, self-paced online Bible study program. You can start today by going to igh.worldbibleschool.org, or you can click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 to receive our free 30-lesson series. Or you can use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's get back into our study of Matthew 18. At the end of our last study, we introduced a passage from Luke chapter 17 that talked about unprofitable servants. Here's where we were in that study. On one occasion, Jesus referred to disciples, generally in this context, and not just to the apostles, as unprofitable servants. Here's what Jesus said. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. That's Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. The first part of Jesus' message focused on physical servants serving physical masters. After the servant completed his work in the field, he had even more work to do when he came in. He prepared food for his master, and only afterwards was he able to eat and drink. Jesus asked this question, did the master thank the servant because he did what he was supposed to do? Jesus said, I think not. Then Jesus made application to his spiritual servants, starting with the words, so likewise you. After we have done all that the Lord wants us to do, we are only unprofitable servants. Jesus said that, as unprofitable servants, we have done what was our duty to do. No recognition, no greatness, no superlatives, no positions on either side of the Lord, just the recognition that we have done what we were asked to do, and that should be enough. The disciples' question about greatest in the kingdom of heaven emphasizes recognition from a human perspective as opposed to a divine perspective. In Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 20, the text where the mother of Jesus and John came asking for her sons to sit on either side of Jesus' throne in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said this, some of which we cited in earlier studies. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Our emphasis here? Jesus said that this, lording it over others and seeking greatness, that was what the Gentiles did. Jesus' point? The apostles, and even their mothers, were focusing on things from a physical, worldly perspective, and not from a spiritual heavenly one. That was not just concerning their mindset about authority and greatness. It appeared to be their thinking about other matters too. Remember, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus encouraged his hearers to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33. What things was he referring to? Matthew 6:31 lists three of them. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Jesus' point, God knows that you need those things, food, drink, and clothing. Do what's right, Jesus said. Seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and God will provide. And in that context, Jesus said, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. Matthew 6:32. The point, the non-Jewish population, the Gentiles in the world, often viewed things from a very non-Jewish, non-God-oriented perspective. They emphasized things, possessions, and they emphasized greatness, position. Jesus' kingdom disciples were taught not to focus on either possessions or position. We return to the importance of Jesus' teaching about children and the kingdom of heaven. Jesus introduced a child in order to counter all of the vainglorious things that the apostles' desire for greatness reflected. Generally speaking, children do not lord it over each other. Generally speaking, children do not seek to take advantage of others. Generally speaking, in the ancient world, men usually occupy positions of greatest status, but not women. And children, they were at the bottom rung of social standing. That, however, did not square with God's perspective. Numerous Old Testament texts attest the joy and value of children in the home. The psalmist, for example, spoke about the children of one's youth, saying, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Psalm 127, verse 5. Jesus used childlikeness to teach the necessity of a specific set of characteristics that must apply to all of Jesus' kingdom disciples. Wilkins notes this, yet Jesus celebrates the weakness, defenselessness, and humility of children in contrast to the self-advancement displayed in the 12. If persons wish to enter the kingdom, they must turn away from their own power, aggressiveness, and self-seeking, and call on God's mercy to allow them to enter the kingdom of heaven. The child thus becomes a metaphor of the values of discipleship. End of citation. Everything that the disciples sought in their pursuit of kingdom of heaven greatness was antithetical to what it meant to be a Jesus kingdom disciple. They sought personal strength, not poorness in spirit, and not mourning for their own sins. They sought self-advancement and not humility. They sought power and position rather than rely on God's strength and God's promises. Thus, as Wilkins stated, children became a metaphor, a picture of everything that the apostles and all disciples needed to be. Jesus addressed that in two ways in this setting, one negative and one positive. We see both in Matthew 18, verses 3, 4, and 5. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Let's look at this more closely. First, the negative perspective that Jesus presented, followed after that by the positive point of view. First, the negative viewpoint. Jesus started by saying assuredly. The word translated assuredly, our familiar term amen, means truly. When followed by the words I say, it serves as the beginning of a solemn declaration. Interestingly, it was used only by Jesus. Jesus' message, as Matthew recorded it, what I am about to tell you is of paramount importance. You really need to listen to this. in concert with the word assuredly, are the words I say to you. These words not only continue the solemnity and the importance of what Jesus was about to say, but they also indicate the authority inherent in Jesus' remarks. It was Jesus himself who was making this declaration. Thus, it carried the weight of divine authority. Moreover, Jesus said, I say to you. Jesus wanted his audience, in this context, the disciples who sought personal greatness in the heavenly kingdom, Jesus wanted those disciples to listen carefully to the words that followed. The next word that Jesus spoke, unless, carries the bulk of the negative weight that we are discussing in this passage. It usually appears in translation as the word unless, but occasionally as the word except. The two words that convey the idea of unless include first a marker of condition, with probability of activity expressed in the verb left open. When that term was used with a certain tense, it indicated what was expected to occur under certain circumstances. The second word in the two-word phrase that appears in translation as unless occurs as a marker of negation, or the word not. But when it appears in negative clauses, like the one that we see here, it often has a condition, a qualification attached to it. That conditional aspect was already noted as inherent in the first term. What does all of this mean? In this context, the condition was being converted and becoming as little children. That was necessary in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Of course, Jesus would not introduce a condition connected to redemption unless that condition were realistically possible, and not one so exceptional as to exclude anyone. The next words are converted and become as little children. These two expressions are inseparable. You cannot be converted without becoming little children, not spiritually speaking anyway. And again, spiritually speaking, you cannot become little children in the manner Jesus had in mind, except that you are converted. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 18. As we close, these reminders. You can start our free, self-paced online Bible study right now by going to igh.worldbibleschool.org or by clicking the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.